Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series on great doctrines of the Bible. Today we'll be looking at Satan or the devil. I want to mention the material in each one of these studies is really only skimming the surface of that particular doctrine. So I encourage you on your own to go back and look up some more references and do your own study on these great doctrines of the Bible. The other thing I want to mention before I begin today is there are many, many, many doctrines, great doctrines of the Bible, and in this series, we're not going to cover all of them because if we did, we'd be going on for weeks and months and even probably a year, amen. But we're just covering just a few in the series of studies on the great doctrines of the Bible. But before we begin today, as we always do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction in this study today, Lord. I pray that you'd use me a vessel of honor for you this day, Lord. I pray you'd bless the listener. I pray for the saint of God to be edified and build up to the things of the Lord. Dear God, encourage the saint of God to go on for thee. I pray if there's a lost sinner that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, for this would be the very day that they'd call upon the name of the Lord and turn away, repent of their sins, and receive Jesus Christ by faith into their heart as their personal Savior. Father, whatever is accomplished today, it's because of you. Father, we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for what you'll choose to do this very day, and it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. All right, great doctrines of the Bible. The doctrine, again, we'll be looking at today is Satan or the devil. First, I'm going to go through some introductory material. Amen. First of all, we believe that Satan was once holy, enjoyed heavenly honors, but through pride and ambition to be as the Almighty, fell and drew after him a host of angels. We believe that he is now the malignant prince of the power of the air, the unholy god of this world. We hold him to be man's great tempter, the enemy of God and his Christ, the accuser of the saints, the author of all false religions, the chief power in back of the present apostasy, the Lord of the Antichrist, in the author of all the powers of darkness, destined, however, to final defeat at the hands of God's Son, and to the judgment of an eternal justice in hell, a place prepared for him and his angels. The Bible tells us very little about the origin. However, most Bible scholars believe that Isaiah chapter 14 in verses 12 through 15 and Ezekiel 28 verses 12 through 19 is a description of his origin and fall. Let's look at those Bible passages. First, we will look at Isaiah. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 14 with me. Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, let's look at verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Here we go. He's beginning he's got the I disease, the personal pronoun I. Notice he says, I will ascend into heaven, number one. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. Notice what verse 15 says. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now Ezekiel chapter 28 with me. So we see that Satan's sin was pride, ambition. He wanted to be like the Most High God, the Almighty God, amen. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning in verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. We see that Satan was created full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He had a very highly exalted, he was beautifully arrayed with all precious stones. His covering was precious stones. Some say he was great in a musical ability. We see here drums, tabrets, and pipes. We see he was the anointed cherub, amen, that covereth, and I have set thee also. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He was in the third heaven, in the mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect. Listen to this. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the merchandise of by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart, here is his sin, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So those passages that we just read in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, I believe, describe the origin, amen, the origin and the fall of Satan, the devil. Now, one thing is sure, that is, he has left a slimy, terrible trail across the pages of human history. I want us to notice some things. As we've just finished our introduction into point number one, here we are. Here's personality. his personality. Now, both the Bible and personal experience prove the personality of the devil. He is called that old serpent, the devil. Look at in Revelation chapter 12 with me. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse number 9, and the great dragon, that's Satan, was cast out, the old serpent, that's the devil, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. My friend, Satan is your adversary. Anybody that would deny the reality of the devil must be blind, deaf, and dumb. He is real to the Lord Jesus Christ, to Paul, and to Peter. Amen. If you read the Gospels, if you read the Pauline epistles, the letters written to the churches by the Apostle Paul, and the epistles written by Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, and Peter talk about the reality of the devil. Amen. In fact, we see the Lord Jesus Christ casting out devils from different individuals in the Gospels. Amen. He also, the devil, he is real to every Christian who has ever experienced the fight against the forces of evil. Amen. So we see his personality, number one. Point number two, let's look at his character. He is described by the Word of God as most subtle. He's crafty. Genesis chapter 3. Look in Genesis chapter 3, where he deceived Adam and Eve. Verse 1, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle, see, that means crafty, tricky, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto thee, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. But here we see how the devil is subtle. Amen. Satan is subtle. He's as cunning as a serpent. Amen. And here we see how he used that subtlety, that craftiness, that trickery to deceive Adam and Eve and cause them to fall. Amen. In the Garden of Eden. We are also told in the Word of God that Satan, the devil, he appears as an angel of light. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. That's how I believed he appeared to Eve as something beautiful there in the garden for her to behold. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 14. In no marvel, you know, don't be surprised, in no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He appears as something beautiful, the Bible tells us. That's one of the ways that he deceives. Amen. He is something beautiful to behold outwardly. But all he leaves behind him is a trail of destruction, broken lives. Amen. Christians out of fellowship with God, souls on their way to hell. He is also a tempter. A tempter. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 with me in verse number 1. And of course, in chapter 3 of Matthew, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. Amen. And he begins his earthly ministry, and then we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, he tempts, my dear friend, by presenting desirable objects before our eyes. He seeks to pamper our pride that we might forget or deny God. And he succeeded with Eve, but he failed with Christ. We also see that he is an adversary. An adversary. First, Peter, chapter 5. Maybe some of you listening were once or still are in the armed services of our country. I at one time was on active duty with the United States Air Force during the Vietnam War. I am a Vietnam-era veteran, even though I did not go to Vietnam. But the reason I say that is, in the military, you study your enemy. You try to find out as much information as you can about him. And we know that one of our enemies as Christians is the devil, Satan. And in some ways, that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to find out some information about our adversary, our enemy. Amen. We're studying him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. And why are we as Christians to be sober and to be vigilant? You know, we think of someone who is sober. Amen. We think of someone, the opposite of someone who is drunk. Someone who is sober, in their right mind, serious. Amen. Vigilant, watchful. Why? Why are we to be sober and to be vigilant? Because your adversary, your enemy, in other words, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The picture that you've got to see here is this. Think of a lion, amen, the lion in the jungle, as he walketh about looking for prey, looking for food that he may eat, that he may devour. Amen. That's what he wants to do. That's what the devil wants to do, my friend. I mean, this is serious business. You know, we make light of the devil too much, but he is our adversary. Amen. And we need to be sober, and we need to be on the lookout for him. Amen. We need to be vigilant. You see, my friends, as an adversary, he is opposed to every holy desire and every good work. Something else, he is also an accuser. Look in Revelation chapter 12 with me. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And of course, in the context, it's talking about Satan. He is our accuser. He accuses us before God day and night. But amen, if you're saved, you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He can accuse all he wants, but because we're covered in the blood of Jesus, we are not guilty before Almighty God. Not only is he accuser, we saw in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he's a deceiver. See? We read in Revelation 12, 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Oh, not only is that wicked one a deceiver, but he's also a liar. He's a bold-faced liar. Look at in John chapter 8. Jesus was giving it back to the religious crowd of his day. Amen. In John chapter 8. And he told it like it is. In John chapter 8, verse 44. I can see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now. I believe when he spoke, he looked a man right in his eyes. Amen. And I'm sure that he looked that religious crowd of his day right in the eyes. And he said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Amen. He is a liar. We also read in that verse that he was a murderer from the beginning. See, remember this. Satan deceives, destroys, and damns. He deceives. He deceives with the pleasures of sin. Amen. He's a liar. And he's a murderer. Amen. Oh, how he presents things in such a good, positive light. Amen. But underneath it all, it's nothing but deceit and lies. And ultimately, he is out to destroy you and I. Destroy our physical life. Destroy our testimony for Almighty God. Take him serious. His character. We saw his character. He is most subtle. Number one. And these are all, his character is described in the Word of God. Everything we've taken is from the very words of Almighty God. He is most subtle. He appears as an angel of light. He is a tempter. He is an adversary. He is an accuser, he is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he is a murderer. That, my friends, is what makes up the devil's character. Amen. He is a character, amen? Won't you agree? And we need to take him serious. Amen. We need to take him seriously. And when we go out, amen, we need to go out in the power and the strength of Almighty God. Now let's quickly turn to point number three, his purpose. Now the devil does have a purpose. And knowing that he has a short time is in desperation to carry it out. His first purpose is to steal. He steals. Look in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 with me. Luke chapter 8, in verse number 12. Luke 8, 12. And here we have the parable of the sower of the seed. Now notice in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, hear what? The word of God. Then cometh the devil, and what does he do? And taketh away the word, steals in other words, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Amen. You see, he snatches away the word off the heart and not from the heart. Not only that, he pollutes. He pollutes. Looking in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 with me. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, you know, we have the explanation here of the parable of the tares of the field, the wheat and the tares. And Jesus is explaining that. And in verse 38 of Matthew 13, he says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So he pollutes. He wants to get some bad in with the good. As he's sown, we see the sowing of the tares with the wheat. As the God sows his children, the devil sows his children. And they look very much alike. Amen. They look very much alike. Amen. Outwardly, as the Lord's children, as God's children. But after close examination, you see that they're the children of the wicked one. Amen. So he pollutes. The devil steals. He steals the word of God off the heart of the hearer, and he also pollutes. He sows his children, his wicked children, as God sows his children. Well, our time has run out here on the pastor's study. We'll continue our study on this great doctrine of the Bible, Satan. Next time, we'll finish it up. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.